Praise the Lord, you may be seated for a few moments. It's really an honor to be back in apostolic environment in Beaufort, Georgia. Amen. It's so good to be with Brother and Sister Copeland this time. We're here. And just believe in God for great things. We love this church, love all of you. And I'm especially thrilled today to see Sister Vanderhoff. Sister Vanderhoff, so good to see you. We love you. Amen. I hate to kind of divulge this, not for myself, maybe for hers, but if you can add, you know, somewhat. I think it was about 35 years ago that they came and held us a revival in Minot. We had just arrived there, maybe had been there a year, and I believe that's, we may have seen you once since then, I don't remember that. So good to hear that you were here and be able to see you again. Wonderful family, brother and sister Vanderhoff, children. Family of God is the greatest thing. It's the greatest entity on the face of the earth. Amen. I look at the congregation. I love the theme of this church, and I tell people, when we are out and about this area, it's a wonderful church. It's a church for all people and all cultures. And I've told you this before. But this is looks a whole lot like heaven is going to look like. Every kindred and every nation. Amen. Sister Pearson and I are truly blessed to be with you again. And I feel very confident the Lord has given me something today for somebody in this place. If you'd like to stand with me. I believe it was Brother Jordan Copeland. I'm not sure, but I think it was him that called me. And he told me, Brother Copeland, he said, and it might not have been him, but I think it was. He said, Brother so-and-so, and I can't think of who so-and-so was now either. But he said he preached a message, don't stop feeding the cow. And it instantly prompted something in my spirit. So I don't know who it was that preached it, if he did. Don't know who told me for sure. And I don't know what their message was. But I know that the Lord began to speak to my heart. And I want to preach to you today for a little while. If you'd like to turn with me to my text, chapter 15 of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 15. So good to meet Brother Vaughn for the first time, make his acquaintance. Reading verse 23 of Luke 15, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this wonderful day, for this time to be together with the family of God, and for your wonderful presence that's graced us today in this place, Lord. We ask your help, Lord Jesus, to touch hearts and lives in this place. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God, praise God, praise God. The 15th chapter of Luke, down to this passage that I read to you, it deals primarily with lost. There is something about the word, simply lost, that brings about speculation, it brings about heartache, it brings about many varied things, just simply the word lost. Many years ago, when man started exploring outer space, and a lot of that stuff was going on, and I remember in one of the magazines, when we used to have bigger magazines with pictures on the front of them, and I remember seeing a picture somewhat of a spacecraft that had gone into space. It was a likeness of it, and there was an astronaut that was out of the spaceship and had this cord attached to him. I remember looking at that, Brother Vaughn, and when I did, I had such a lonesome feeling came over me. A feeling of despair almost, and sorrow. Because what I saw there and what comprehended my spirit was that if that umbilical cord would ever get broken on one of those astronauts, and they are out there in space, and they would begin to float away, there would be no first responder. There would be nobody to come and save him. The fire trucks wouldn't roll, the ambulance wouldn't turn on their sirens, because they would be hopelessly and forever lost. And as I looked at that, it stirred my spirit to think what it would be like to be out there and look back and see you're drifting away and there is nothing ahead of you but outer space. And the tragedy and the agony and what it would be to end up dying because you had gotten lost. I mentioned to this church in a message that I preached while I was here a couple of months ago. I'll just reiterate it a little bit. My granddaughter, we live two houses down. You remember me telling you that? I was talking about about prayer. And you say, well, I have a hard time praying. And I remember preaching to you. I told you that story. And I said, when something like, oh, you'll pray, there are times you will pray in your life. And that was when that phone rang at midnight and the weather was just like this. And my son said to me, Dad, is Katie there. And Katie was my little granddaughter. And we just lived two houses down. And I said, no, she's not here. And he said, Dad, she is gone. The doors of the house are open and she's gone. I will never forget the feeling that I had. I found myself in the middle of the street running to their house. Oh yeah, you pray someday. It took me a millisecond to get into deep prayer. And I remember running down there. My granddaughter was lost. 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 Thank God she was found in that playpen with a bunch of cover she pulled over herself. But she was lost for a time. This first 23 verses here deal with being lost. Grasp it in your mind today that multiplied thousands of people every day, Pastor Copeland, go missing, and many of them are never found again. This passage deals with the shepherd. When he brought his flock all in, he noticed that there was one sheep missing. The Bible says that he left the 99 and he went out to try to find the one that was lost. And what a happy ending to the story that he found the sheep. And the Bible says when he got back, they all rejoiced. And then it deals with the little woman who had lost the coin and was lost in the house. Can I preach to you for a little while today? You can be in the house and you can be lost. Now, I would be safe to say today in the number of this people in a place like this, there could be somebody here that is lost, but you are in the house and in the presence of God. The Bible said she took a broom and she began to sweep the house and she began to look for it. I just want to let you know today in my spirit, amen, I've got a broom and we need to sweep the house. Amen. I don't want to be lost because I'm not going to be lost for a day or a moment or an hour. We've only one life, and if we get lost, we're going to be lost forever. 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 So Jesus is the one that's dealing with this. And then we go into the prodigal son. I really, today, I have heard so many messages in my many, many years about the prodigal son, and we will talk about him a little bit. But I really want to preach to us today about the Father. There was, in that time period, there was a calf that was raised specifically for a time of rejoicing. That calf had special food and it was taken care of very, very well. And so we find that this young man, the father had two sons. He was obviously in this parable that Jesus was giving, denoted as being a wealthy man. Because the Bible says that the young man came to his father and he said, I want my inheritance. We know that story so very, very well. And his father gave him his inheritance and he left home. We know the condition of that young man that he fell into. What he did was he got lost while he was out there in that world. But I really believe and allow my supposition today, I believe to have a spiritual connotation to it. I believe that when that son left, that the father was a broken-hearted man. He did not want his son to leave. He did not want him to go. I'm sure that he was aware of the son, and there were probably things denoted in the boy's life that made the father understand it's not going to be a good thing if he leaves now. I'm sure he pleaded with him and tried to convince him, please don't do this. But he had made up his mind that he was going to leave, and he left. We know the story how that he fell among wrong company. I'm here to tell you, it's not easy to get lost in this world that we're living in today. All you have to do is have to look in the detox centers. You'll find them spread across the United States, and they are filled with men and women and teenagers that have lost their way. You go to our places of incarceration and they are filled, and we continue to build prisons across the United States. Amen. Because they are filled with people that have lost their way. Some of them will never, ever walk away. They are lost forever behind bars. It's easy to get can see him, Brother Copeland, as he's wallowing around in there. His money's all gone. His clothes is all gone. Everything that he had any value to him whatsoever, it is gone. I want to preach to everyone in this place, but especially our young people. Or if you're lost in this house, it doesn't matter how old you are, you're still lost. And so he finds himself, and I can just visually in my mind see him in despair. He is hungry. He is in rags. He's probably barefooted, and he's wallowing. He's cleaning up the filth from the hogs in the pen, and he's starving. I can see him pick up a husk to see if there's anything left on it. And as he's holding it in his hand, he begins to think about Father and about the house that he left. The Bible tells us he came to himself. He said, my Father's servants have much more and much better than I have. I just believe it might be a good thing to see if I couldn't go back home. But let me tell you the other side of this story. I believe with all of my heart, from day one, I believe the first thing that Father did when he got up is he went out on the veranda and he stood there. The Bible doesn't tell us how long the boy was lost. It could have been a week, but it could have been 10 years. But I believe that Father, the first thing that he did, he walked out on that porch and he locked his eyes in the far distance and he waited until maybe the sun drove him back into the house, the heat. Amen. But I believe when the sun would start to set that the Father would walk out on the veranda and he would stand there looking down that road just hoping and praying that his lost son but day after day passed. I believe there were probably times, amen, that he stood there in the evening time and he would see a lone figure that was making its way down the path. Amen, and hope rose in his heart and he got excited. But as he got closer, he realized it was another vagabond. But I believe, this is just Brother Pearson, but I believe something stirred. He said, I want to reach out to that one. At least I want to give him a meal and give him a place to stay. But the next morning, he would be out there, standing there waiting. But I believe ever so often, he'd call the manager of the livestock. And he'd say, you know, that little fatted calf that we started when my son left, are you still taking good care of that calf? I believe the older son probably would say, what's the matter with you, Dad? He ain't ever coming back home. What are you doing this for? That's all right. Just keep feeding the calf that special grain that we got. I believe, amen, that he protected that calf. It wasn't like any other calf in the herd. Amen. I believe Daddy would walk out there and he would look at that calf to make sure, Brother Copeland, there might have been enough years that passed that calf began to grow. And Daddy realized that one's not going to work because it's not a tender one now. And he'd tell the manager, start another calf. Why are you doing that? Because I believe someday my son is going to come home. He said, I want this lawn mowed. I want it mowed. I want it mowed every once. once a week, I want it groomed. I want it kept nice. I want the fences to stay in repair. Dad, why are you doing that? He said, because when my son walks down that road, I want everything to be just like it was when he left. Can I preach to you, church? We gotta keep the house looking like it did when they walked away.
Jim, somehow in the course of life,
that shouldn't have, and so on and so forth. He lost out with God. And then there was about a 3-year period that I lost track of him, and nobody knew where he was. I'd seen him once in Houston prior to that. Bought a car from him. And he was so caught up sports betting and just all kind of stuff. Brother Copeland, he got terribly lost. He opened his briefcase up. He had a .357 Magnum in there. Carried it with him everywhere he went. And then he vanished. Nobody knew where he was. We all thought he was dead. I found out his mother knew, but she wouldn't tell anybody. About 3 years later, he surfaced again in Houston. Or in North Carolina, in Durham. I would stop by there every once in a while and just visit. Everything was messed up, so messed up. But Brother Copeland, the last thing he would say when I'd get ready, he'd say, "Cuz, please, quit praying." It looked hopeless. That day on the phone, he said, cousin, I'm going to tell you this. He said, I want you to believe me. He said, I've been planning on getting back to church. But he said, I'm dying. He said, I've got pancreatic cancer. Can you come? I mean, I put that phone down. My wife started packing me a bag, and I was in my truck, and I was gone. I called Brother Johnny Godair and found out about his daughter worked close by. I pulled up in front of Jim's house. He came out. We got in my truck. Church had already started. We walked into an old-fashioned little daughter work. Brother Rodney Betts was preaching. It was just like the, I called him and told him what was going to take place. I watched my cousin go down to that altar. Repent of his sins. Begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit. The house has got to be ready when they come back. The family. One day it was just Jim and myself in the house. I didn't put this together this way. I just now come to understand. My cousin looked at me and he said, "Cuz, we're having foot washing tonight." He said, "Could we have a foot washing?" Trod many paths of the lost. The last thing they did was lead him back. I preached that funeral at Brother Johnny Loder's church. I was able to say he made it back home. These altars are open.